Chapter 9. My mind went into overdrive. Okay, so a guy was coming at me with a knife. He had a wounded arm, probably from Irina while she was being murdered. That meant he wanted to kill me too. Irina was strong, trained, and armed, but she still lost a knife fight to this guy. What chance did I have? I can't fight for shit, and running wasn't an option either. I was in heels and a tight skirt. I had one chance, and it relied on me guessing where he was going to stab. I was a helpless, exposed girl with no weapon. Why waste time? Just slit my throat. I jerked my purse to my neck just in time to block his attack. His lightning-fast strike slashed the purse open, and the contents spilled out. That would have been my throat. He assumed I'd be halfway through dying after that assault, so he left himself a little open. I grabbed his bad arm with one hand and punched it with the other. He cried out in pain. He lashed at me with the knife, but I twisted out of the way. I hung on and kicked off the doorframe to torque his injured arm as much as I could. Maybe if his pain was bad enough, he'd be distracted and I could run away. He screamed in rage and used the arm to hoist me into the air. Okay, that wasn't part of my plan. He lifted me bodily over his head and swung me down toward the hotel room's floor. This was my chance. It would hurt, but it was a chance. I let go of his arm right before hitting the floor. It didn't lessen the blow. I smashed into the ground on my side. My ribs exploded with pain. I wanted to curl up and moan, but I didn't have the time. I was free, if only for a second. He stumbled. He'd just had 55 kilograms of jazz on his arm, and it suddenly fell off. I pushed through the pain in my side and got to my knees. With every ounce of strength I had, I slammed my shoulder into his back. Lefty was off balance and wasn't expecting an attack. He tumbled into the hallway. I fell backward into the hotel room and kicked the door shut. It locked automatically. Less than a second later, I heard the first resounding thump as Lefty tried to force his way back in. I scrambled to the nightstand next to the bed and dialed the phone. "Front desk," came the immediate reply. I tried to sound panicked. It wasn't hard. "Hey, I'm in room 124 and there's some guy pounding on the door. I think he's drunk or something. I'm scared." "We'll send security right up." "Thanks." Lefty flung himself against the door a second time. I hung up and limped to the door. I peeked through the peephole. Lefty reared back and took another running leap at the door. Another rattling thump, but the door was unaffected. "Metal door, metal deadbolt," I yelled. "Fuck you." He'd backed up to take another run when the elevator doors at the end of the hall opened. The beefy security guy stepped forward. "Something I can help you with, sir?" A few other room doors opened up. Confused guests peeked at the action. Lefty hadn't exactly been quiet. He took stock of the situation and of the very large security guard. This wasn't something he could stab his way out of. He looked at the door longingly, then scampered off. The guard straightened his tie, walked up, and knocked on my door. I opened it a crack.
Hi?
"Are you all right, ma'am?" he asked.
"Yeah, it was just weird as all. Aren't you going after him?"
"He had a knife. Best to let him go."
"I see.
I'll stick around in the hall for a while to make sure he doesn't come back. Rest easy."
"Okay, thank you." I closed the door.
I took a moment to recenter. Lefty was in Jin Chu's room because... why? He had no way of knowing I'd come. He wasn't there for me. He must have been there for Jin Chu. A Latino assassin. And wouldn't you know it? Sanchez Aluminum was owned by Brazilians. Shit. I know companies get pissed when you trash their stuff, but murder? Murder? I looked through the peephole again. The guard stood nearby. I was safer than I'd been all day. All right. Time to search the room. Man. Must be nice to be rich. The room had a king-sized bed, a tidy workstation in one corner, and a bathroom with a gray water reuse shower. I heaved a sigh. My dreams of a nice place had died with Trond. I tossed the room. No point in subtlety. I found the usual stuff you'd expect for a business traveler. Clothes, toiletries, etc. What I didn't find was a gizmo. And judging by the condition of the room, at least the condition it was in before I trashed it, there hadn't been a struggle. That was all good news for Jin Chu. It meant he probably wasn't dead.
most likely scenario, Lefty came to kill him, but he wasn't home. So Lefty waited. Then I showed up and ruined everything. You're welcome, Jinchu. I was about to leave when I noticed the safe in the closet. It's one of those things you don't even pay attention to. The wall-mounted safe had an electronic lock with instructions on how to set it. Pretty simple, really. It starts disarmed. You put your shit in it, then set the code. It'll keep that code until you check out. I tried the handle and it didn't open. Interesting. When one of those wall safes isn't in use, it's ajar. Time to become a safecracker. Those things aren't exactly made to protect the crown jewels. The contents of my now-destroyed purse lay strewn across the floor. I found the makeup compact and slapped it against my palm several times. I opened it to a mess of crumbled powder. I held it up to the safe and blew across the surface. Brown, dusty makeup clouded the air around the safe. I stepped back and waited for it to clear up. Dust takes a long time to settle in Artemis. Atmosphere plus low gravity equals particles taking forever to fall. Eventually, the area cleared up. I took a good look at the keypad. A layer of makeup covered everything, but three of the buttons had more dust on them than the others. The 0, the 1, and the 7. Those were the ones with finger grease on them. With a hotel like the Canton, you could bet they cleaned everything in the room between guests. So those numbers had to be the digits Jinchu chose for his combination. According to the instructions on the safe, you set a 4-digit code. A 4-digit code with 3 unique numbers. I closed my eyes and did some math. There'd be 54 possible combinations. According to the instructions, the safe would lock down if it got 3 incorrect combinations in a row. Then the hotel staff would have to open it with their master code. I replayed my brief interaction with him in my head. He was on Tron's couch. He drank Turkish coffee while I had black tea. We talked about... Aha! He was a Star Trek fan. I typed 1701 and the safe clicked open. NCC 1701 was the registration number of the Starship Enterprise. How did I know that? I must have heard it somewhere. I don't forget stuff. I opened the safe door and found the mysterious white case, the one Jinchu had tried to hide from me. The outside still read Zapho sample, authorized use only. All right, now we were getting somewhere. I popped open the case to discover a cable? It was just a coiled cable, maybe 2 meters long. Had someone taken the secret device and left the power cable behind? Why do that? Why not take the whole case? I looked at the cable more closely. Actually, it wasn't a power cord. It was a fiber optic cable. Okay, so it was for data. But what data? Okay, now what? I asked myself. The door beeped and slid open. Svoboda stepped into his studio apartment and dropped his gizmo on the shelf near the door. Hi, Svobo, I said.
Fiat Ederno.
He put his hand on his chest and panted. I'd smuggled in so many illegal chemicals for him over the years, he'd given me the keypad code for his apartment. It was just easier for me to deliver that way. I leaned back in his desk chair. I need some work from you.
Jesus Christ, Jez, he said, still breathing heavily. Why are you in my apartment?
I'm in hiding.
What's with your hair?
I changed back into normal clothes, but I still had my whore do. Long story.
Are those sparkles? You have sparkles in your hair.
Long story. I pulled a square of wrapped chocolate from my pocket and tossed it to him. Here. I read somewhere you should always bring a gift when visiting a Ukrainian.
Ooh, chocolate.
He caught the morsel and unwrapped it.
Rudy came by the lab today asking about you. He didn't say why, but Scuttlebutt is you're involved in those murders.
The guy who killed them wants to kill me.
Wow, he said. This is serious. You should go to Rudy.
I shook my head. And get deported? No, thanks. I can't trust him. I can't trust anyone right now.
But you're here, he smiled. So you trust me?
Huh. It never occurred to me not to trust Svoboda. He was way too Svoboda to be sinister. I guess so.
Awesome.
He snapped the chocolate in two and handed me half. He popped the other half in his mouth and savored it.
Oh, hey,
he said with his mouth full.
Did you get a chance to test the condom?
No, I haven't had sex in the 2 days since you gave me the condom.
Okay, okay,
he said. I picked up the Zaffle box and tossed it to him. I need you to tell me what this is. He plucked it out of the air and read the label.
Huh, Zaffle. You asked me about that earlier.
Yeah, now I have a sample. What can you tell me about it? He opened the box and pulled the cable out.
It's a fiber optic data cable.
What's it for? He peered at one end.
Nothing.
What? He held both ends of the cable up.
These aren't connectors. They're caps. This cable can't be used for anything. Not without connectors, anyway.
So what's the point? It's just a useless cable?
No idea, he said.
He coiled it up and put it back in the box.
Is it related to the murders?
Maybe, I said. I don't know.
Okay, I'll take it to the lab right now. I'll get you some answers tonight.
I pulled out my Harpreet gizmo. 2,000 slugs?
What?
He gave me a look like I'd pissed on his mother's grave.
No, nothing. The price is nothing. Jesus.
What's wrong? I said.
You're in trouble. I'm helping you because you're my friend.
I opened my mouth to speak, but couldn't think of what to say. He whipped his gizmo from the shelf.
I assume you're using an alias. Give me its ID.
I shared my new contact info with him. He nodded curtly when his gizmo received it.
Okay, Harpreet. I'll call you when I have something.
I'd never seen him so annoyed. Svoboda, I...
Forget it. It's cool.
He forced a smile.
I just thought that would be assumed, is all. You need somewhere to stay?
No, I've got a hideout set up.
Of course you do. Lock up when you leave.
He left a little faster than necessary. Well, shit. I didn't have time for male ego or whatever the hell that was about. I had to hurry off to my next scheme. All right, Lefty, I mumbled to myself. Let's see how well connected you are. Evening is the arcade district's busiest time of day. It's when the rich fucks come out to play. Freshly fed and liquored up, they hit the shops, casinos, brothels, and theaters. If you haven't seen Lunar Acrobats in action, you don't know what you're missing. Hell of a show. It was perfect. People everywhere. Just what I needed. Arcade Square, which is a circle, sat in the center of Aldrin Ground, right in the middle of everything. It was only a collection of benches and a few potted trees, the sort of thing you see in every town square on Earth, but an incredible luxury here. I glanced around and didn't see Lefty anywhere. Very helpful of him to have a sling on. It made him easy to spot. Someday, when I died and went to hell, I'd thank Arena for slashing him. Drunks and revelers crisscrossed the square. Tourists packed the benches and chatted or took pictures of one another. I pulled out my gizmo and turned it on. And when I say my gizmo, I mean my real gizmo. It powered up and showed the familiar wallpaper, a picture of a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel puppy. What? I like puppies. I discreetly placed the gizmo on the ground and kicked it under a nearby bench. The bait was set. Now to see if anyone came nibbling.